Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent here with Craig, Tim, and Nick. Tonight, we start the fourth season of Red Storm Chasers and a return to St. John's basketball, guys. How excited are you for the season? How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Start of the season is always an exciting time. You know, the November comes around and it's time for St. John's basketball. The thing we worry about and think about, you know, all day long, every day.
Mainly worry about.
Yeah. I'm excited for the season. There's a lot of buzz around the team and everything. And there's like just talking with people around the program.
Part of the new excitement this season is bringing in a new athletic director as well. We brought over Ed Cole, former Fordham athletic director, also former staff member at St. John's. So it's always exciting and interesting, I think, when a new regime takes over, what direction the athletic department's going to take. And, obviously it's kind of fresh in his term still. So we'll see which way he takes us. But
yeah, I mean, I think Father Shanley once taking over and Rick Pitino coming in, Mike Cragg was never their guy. I mean, Mike Cragg was always good in here. We always talked to him. He was a good friend of the podcast. So, you know, we do wish him well.
He did a lot of good things for St. John's as well.
And I think he started building that foundation. But I think Father Shanley wanted to get his own athletic director in. Rick Pitino, obviously, what I would imagine was instrumental as well in that. So I think, you know, look, in those guys we trust and they've done it before. So we're going to trust them. And I think Ed Cole, from all accounts, is a great hire for us. And is very adept at raising money, which is obviously extremely important in the days of NIL, and especially as we try to move forward towards major scale renovations at various basketball facilities here at St. John's.
Certainly so. And I mean, you know, obviously the way basketball is now, if you're not ever evolving, but college basketball is now, if you're not ever evolving, I think you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball with NIL and, you know, conference constantly changing and so much activity all the time. It's sad. Like, you know, when you see someone go, Mike Cragg, like we said, did great stuff for the school, but, you know, move on and can hopefully heading in the right direction. So we'll see what Ed Cole brings. But he's going to have a basically brand new basketball team because this St. John's roster looks nearly unrecognizable. Compared to last season's team.
Some key pieces around.
I wouldn't say that.
How many starters of last season will be on the court starting for St. John's this year?
I don't know how many starters, but we have five key players returning.
I said nearly unrecognizable. I didn't say it was unrecognizable.
We have Jafor is pretty recognizable. Simeon Wiltshire is pretty recognizable. RJ is pretty recognizable.
Sure. I mean, first of all, they're all recognizable because I know all of them. I know all of them. I love all of them. But I'm just saying, we're going to have a mainly new starting cast here.
Yeah, I agree. It's a new cast. I think that's going to be the new normal here with NIL and the transfer portal. I think every year is going to be big roster turnovers. And I think the key to this all is to keep a core group of guys together. And I think, luckily, we really didn't have, I mean, obviously, not defections, but people graduated and went on to the NBA and things like that, which is great for the program. That's what we want. Good for the guys. That's what we want as well. But if we keep those key pieces together, I think that's the continuity you need going forward. Then you supplement and, you know, we get big roster guys like we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I think you are right. That's basically the new norm across college basketball. Yeah. So, and Rick Pitino alluded to that a bit during media day, saying that, you know, he's not really going to look for high school recruits. He's going to try to fill the roster mainly with portal transfer guys.
Yeah. He did say that.
Which is an interesting approach, in my opinion. I don't know that that's the best approach.
I mean, it might only be a this year thing because of the roster slots we have. It may not be a long-term outlook. I mean, we'll know. We'll see.
I mean, who knows? We will see. But it seems like an interesting approach to me. I feel like, yeah, listen, I mean, Brady Dunlap is a perfect example. He was a high school guy, right? So, like, sure. He was a high school guy that Pitino brought in. So, like, I don't know. We have actually, RJ Lewis was also a freshman. You know what I mean? Like, are a bunch of talented. Well, yes, I mean, Wiltshire. There are high school guys who are talented out there.
There are. I think what it is we have a bunch of those guys right now, and his goal is to keep those guys and develop them while supplementing with the transfer. And I think he's really talking about this year. I think maybe next year he dives back into the high school pool and refill some of those guys who might end up transferring different schools or might end up leaving. Or, you know, the roster is a constantly evolving thing. And I think now he's looking at transfers because that's where he thinks we are in terms of roster construction. I think going forward, I don't think, I'm not going to be wrong, that he's saying we're done with high school players for a long time. I just think Because I think he does see, I mean, I would imagine you do see the value in having those guys stick around. But I think it is, remember, it is difficult to keep those guys all the year. And so you put a lot of player development, and then.
And it's a little different in, and it's a little different in the NIL era now. That's hard to say. it's kind of hard now in the NIL era because, like, well, not hard, actually. It's a little different now in the NIL era because you get a chance to see, like, players for 2 or 3 years at another program and see, okay, he will fit my mold or he won't fit my mold. So it's a little. It could be advantageous to go to, you know, just kids that are in college rather than doing high school.
Yeah.
You also got to pay them less money.
That's it. Well, depending what kind of kid they are.
Well,
it's fair.
Well, at least you got a better, as Nick said, you got a better look at him. You know really what you're getting. What you're
is,
paying
he,
for.
Is he actually worth it?
Also, more likely to get a better deal because it's their first time working it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a look at this roster. Obviously, the big name, biggest name brought in, probably the biggest transfer portal.
Yeah.
Of the move of this of the college basketball season,
number one according to ESPN,
Kadari Richmond moving over from Seton Hall to St. John's.
That'll add a juice to the rivalry
across the Hudson.
Just a little.
Already
bit.
A rough rivalry, by the way. Not exactly the friendliest of of rivalries for sure. No. So that'll certainly add some juice to the fire. I still think playing that game, and that we don't play any games at UBS Arena, but playing that game at UBS Arena was a hilarious move. By
well, this year we're gonna play in Corona Seca. So
I that was a good move too.
Smart.
I think we should play him at the Staten Island campus instead.
There you go. No, a little too close to New Jersey.
Play him in Montauk.
That's what I'm saying. The further out, the better. That's why I think UBS was a good move. Anyway, so Kadari Richmond, obviously the biggest addition to our team. He, there's so many positive things you can say about him. He's going to be the face of the team, but certainly in the leading preseason,
well could be. He could be the face of the Big East.
He could
be the face. That's what I'm saying.
They made him captain.
He's a guy who could easily be that leader, and you know, he's kind of brought in for that purpose.
He's expected to be the leader. Yeah, he's the number one transfer in the country. He knows to play in the Big East. He was all Big East first team last year.
He's probably the number two guy in the Big East. Was it Tyler Colick or Cam Thomas?
Last year, wasn't it?
Not Cam Thomas. What's his name?
It was Colick, wasn't it?
It was Colick, right? Colick.
It was Colick.
He was probably second to Colick last season. Player of the year.
Right. And I think this year, I mean, he certainly challenges for Biggest Player of the Year again this round. Well, knock on wood. I really hope he does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's hope he
wins it. But I think that he's certainly in the running for that. So, I mean, that's a massive flip.
I mean, he's probably like a top 15 guy in the country. I mean, he could be one of the top 15 players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Taking a look at his stats from last year, a small sample size to go off to, 15 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, 5 assists per game. I mean, he led Seton Hall in points, rebounds, assist, steals.
I mean,
you're adding a 5 to a player.
And I'm pretty sure in the NIT championship game, he scored like 26, 13 and something.
He's a very impressive guy. And he's going to be the guy that I think we are going to be raving about on a weekly basis.
I would definitely agree with
that. Not the only big name transfer portal member that we brought in. We brought in Davon Smith as well from Utah. Got some great experience in the NIT. Played really well there. And he's another guard. I mean, you know, talk about what's important in March. It's always, you know, your backcourt play. And with Kadari Richmond and Davon Smith, don't forget about Simeon Wilcher. I mean, those three guys make up an incredible backcourt. They're all going to get playing time.
Oh, they're going to play.
It's not like they're going to, you know, it's not like they were going to have two guys and then one of them's going to get the bump. He's going to rotate them in.
I think they could all start, to be honest, depending on the lineup shakes out. I mean, maybe not day one, because I think I saw something that says Davon Smith might start on the bench. But you know, those things again are also fluid. So, you know, when you have options like that in the backcourt, it'll be exciting. I mean, like you said, backcourt play always is important. So they are the guys with the ball in their hands. So,
I mean, looking at Davon Smith last year, averaged 13 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, almost Kadari Richmond like numbers. It's going to be exciting to watch these guys. It's St. John's, so I'm sure there'll be times where we are frustrated with these guys that we are looking at, like, these guys, this is going to be the best backcourt in the history of the world. And at moments, they're not going to be because they're still learning to play together. And, you know, that's the way it goes, particularly at the beginning. But by Big East play, I'd expect this backcourt to be in a place where basically on a nightly basis, we're looking at them and going like, yeah, these guys are living up to the billing.
The one thing we lack a little bit of is like a consistent shooter, as we've always lacked.
I mean, would we be St. John's if we didn't?
Right. Hopefully, like, you know, Simeon Wiltshire, Brady Dunlap, Jones, like last year could come up in the spot.
Yeah.
Well, like we hoped for last year.
Well, Wiltshire, I think to your point, I think Wiltshire, out of that backcourt, Wiltshire is going to be the guy who needs to be a three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, Davin Smith and Kadari Richmond both are okay three-point shooters, but not great, and they really haven't taken a lot in their career. That's not their game.
I heard they were also working with RJ Lewis. On his shot,
and
on his
form. Lewis and wasn't like a bad shooter last year.
No, he wasn't. If he got hot, he would get hot.
Yeah, I mean, he could take over. I mean, look, we know all about RJ from last year. I mean, he can take over a game. He can dominate a game at any point.
Well, yeah. He does have his legs under him finally.
Finally, for the first time. Yeah, I mean, we can hopefully really see the potential that RJ is going to have.
Hopefully he stays healthy all throughout the season. Because remember, for like the first month, he wasn't even healthy. He had a broken finger, and then he had...
Right. Whatever. I mean, the shin splints luckily are gone, as Tim said. Because he had the surgery. So he's, you know, there was an article in the Post talking about him, and he says he feels better than he ever has in years. So that's good. I like that.
Very good.
That's great.
Healthy RJ Lewis could be, you know, listen, there are times where he's frustrating, but there's times where he could be the best player on the court, you know? And,
absolutely.
And it's, if he's fully healthy and ready to go, that could be a problem for a lot of teams. Some other guys that are on this roster that are new, Aaron Scott, he's a North Texas transfer. He could be a guy that you see get a lot of minutes, but likely to start.
He could be a three-point shooter guy as well.
He's
a good 3-and-D kind of guy. He might start, though, like you said, Vincent.
Everybody could start. We could just start like 10 guys.
Yeah, let's just start everybody, like a hockey line.
Maybe that's what we've been missing all these years. We just start all of our guys. We could beat them because we would outnumber them. Zubi Ejiofor obviously comes back. He's going to be our big man.
Zubi?
He's going to be our big man who filled in phenomenally for Joel Soriano.
And was voted captain.
And he was voted a captain. Yeah.
With Kadari.
With Kadari Richmond. And Kadari Richmond both voted captains.
Backing up Zubi as our secondary big man is going to be Vince Iwuchukwu. I hope I pronounced that name correctly.
Well, he's also healthy.
He's
coming off the episode with his heart. Then, LeBron James Jr. had to copy him.
Yeah. Come on. Hey. Transfer from USC, by the way.
And a top 30 prospect at that. He was a top 30 player in the country when he went to USC. So hopefully there's he can find his potential here.
Yeah. 7-1, size don't lie.
He's gonna get some minutes. The big men always get minutes, right?
That's
you always
true.
Gotta rotate him in. So some other names just to keep in mind. Ruben Prey, he's a 6'10 freshman out of Portugal. These are guys who are gonna obviously get minutes, like we talked about. Brady Dunlap, we all know him. He's a name we've come to know and love. Jaden Glover, another name to keep an eye out for. He's a freshman, may get some minutes, probably with the amount of guards we have. It'll be a learning year for him.
He's a four-star recruit, much like Simeon Wiltshire. Hopefully he can develop over time, and he might not get a lot of minutes, but he might play important minutes because he is a good shooter as well, which would be useful.
We could always use those. Kamon Maker is the other freshman center. He's may redshirt, but he's a guy who, if he doesn't redshirt, would be in that rotation of big men. The last two guys on the roster we haven't mentioned, Sidiku Ibinayo. He's actually a returning member. He came over, transferred from Iona with Rick Pitino last year. And then Leftiris Leotopoulos.
Our own Greek freak.
Freshman from Greece, obviously, as Nick mentioned. That finishes out the roster. So, guys, let's take a crack here. What do we think? Now, we do have a sample size, the two exhibition games we'll talk about in a minute, but what do we think this starting five is going to look like? We just want to talk about the first game. So what is going to be your opening day against Fordham starting five?
So my starting five is going to be a breakdown of Zubi, RJ, Kadari, Simeon, and Smith.
Fair enough. Craig?
Same, except I would switch Smith with Scott. So if you want to say it or no?
You probably should.
Sorry. So I'm going to go with Zubi, Simeon Wiltshire, Kadari Richmond, RJ Lewis, and Aaron Scott instead of Davon Smith.
So really one change from Tim?
One change.
Yeah. Nick?
So I'm going to go with a little bit of a bigger starting lineup. I'm going to go with Zubi Ejiofor. I'm going to go with Vince Iwuchukwu. I think I got that. I'll train throughout the season to get that name right. I'm going to go with, obviously, Richmond.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Davion Smith. I think I'm going to go with Simeon Wiltshire. I think he starts over RJ Lewis.
All right, so you went sort of big and sort of small at the same time.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think Kadari Richmond, obviously. I tend to think it's going to be Davon Smith, I'm in agreement with you, Nick, in that it will be Simeon Wilcher. I think we go a little bit small, though. I think we stick RJ Lewis there, and then we go with Zubi Ejiofor, which is basically exactly what Tim said.
Yeah, she agrees, Tim.
So, yeah, that's for...
So I think we can all... So I think we can all agree on, obviously, Gadara Richmond and Zubi and...
Simeon.
I think we all said...
And we all said Simeon.
We all said Simeon, yeah, yeah.
We all said Simeon.
There we go.
Only Craig didn't say Davon Smith.
Correct.
You're probably wrong. Anyway, looking bitch. Back,
we'll see.
He's the 6 foot Russell Westbrook.
Could be.
Thunder Russell, though.
Looking back, we have had two looks at this team. We had two exhibition games to start the year. On, you know, obviously not start the season.
But unofficially 2-0.
Unofficially 2-0. The first game was at Rutgers, packed Rutgers house. By the way, they do a good job there, which is scary.
They do.
But
ranked 25th.
Brought those suckers right back down because we beat them 91-85 in a game where we were behind. Yeah. At halftime, we were down 44-36. We outscored them 55-41 in the second half.
Yeah, we looked really good in that game.
In that second half, we looked particularly good.
And it's also really important. I mean, I know it's an exhibition game, but it was in front of a packed house. They're 25 in the country. We're 27. There's buzz. It's pretty local still. Like, this felt much more like a real game than an exhibition, especially with it having a big crowd.
And it helps with the buzz about the program. So it doesn't help us in terms of record. It won't help us in terms of March. But what it does is it does help us with like AP voters, and it does help us with the national media going like, well, Rutgers ranked 25th, and these guys beat them at their home.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, two potential lottery picks on their team.
They do.
Very good look, for sure. Very good look, for sure. Just to get into the starting five for this game, obviously, since we were talking about starting fives, it was Zubi, Simeon Wilcher, Aaron Scott, Kadari Richmond, and then Io got the start as well. But the big scorers were Zubi. Zubi had 27 points. Great game for Zubi, by the way. 27 points, 13 rebounds. Good stat line for him there. And RJ Lewis came off the bench but scored 22.
It'll be interesting to see Zubi this season as the main big for us, you know, rather than Soriano, which, you know, faded towards the end of the season.
Zubi's going to be a massively important player for us this year. I mean, that's why you can see he's the captain. Yep. I think it's going to be very important. His development this year is going to be huge for us.
Zubi also 1-for-4 from three, by the way. So
that's right.
If Zubi can shoot threes, everybody watch out.
Watch out.
Hey, he only has to shoot a couple just to pull him out a little bit.
I mean, he has the green light. So,
I mean, he's been hitting them. So, yeah. You know.
Only 33% from 3-point line. Just saying, not a great start.
Yeah, I mean that's not really.
I mean it's the first game, so you can't really.
It's an exhibition game too.
I'm not getting crazy about it. It's something to look for because I think that will be something that people will look at again.
Not even day one, Craig already down in 3-point shooting.
I'm just pointing out.
Already concerned. Already
the numbers guy.
He's sweating over there. Look at him.
I am worried about it already.
He's already concerned about the first game against Fordham, where we're going to be. Even worse in the first half, by the way, shot 23% from three in the first half.
Oh, I can
see. What did that do for you?
I can see.
That's it. You can see.
I can see.
That's good. I'm glad you got your eyes checked. Overall, shot 45% from the field. Not too bad. 64% from the free throw line. That's a number we don't like to see.
Classic St. John's.
That's exactly what it is.
There's two things that are a shoo-in for St. John's. We're always lacking a 3-point shooter, and we are terrible at free throws.
Well, those things held true despite this victory at Rutgers.
So. But we won. And that's really the thing that matters. That's
it is absolutely the thing that matters. And we look good doing it. Like I said, we came back from behind.
Right. And it's only exhibition, so you got to work with a lot of the kids.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's why you play them, you know?
You're playing all kinds of stuff, trying to figure it out.
We did have another exhibition game. Towson came to town. First half, we had the lead this time, 31-22, and we closed it out. 64-46, we won. Decent day for us. The starting five in this one was Aaron Scott, Vince Iwuchukwu, Brady Dunlap, Davon Smith, and Jaden Glover. So no Lewis, no Wilcher, not even Kadari Richmond.
Small lineup. Well, or somewhat Ejiofor. Small lineup.
Or Ejiofor, you're right. No, yeah, interesting. A very different look for this start.
I mean, I think it's exhibition, right?
That's right. This is the time to do that.
Trying
to
have different lineups and everything, getting guys comfortable with guys.
Much more spread out scoring in this one. We didn't have anyone get the crack 20. We had Aaron Scott get 11 and RJ Lewis, double digits again. He had 11 as well. But a very wide range of scoring. Outside of the five starters who all scored, there were seven bench players who scored.
Yeah, that's good balance.
I mean, that's what these games are. They're practice games, right? I mean,
defense.
You want to get that out there. You want to practice. And yeah, the defense looked good.
Held them under 50 points. That's great.
To only 28% from the field. So, you know, that's good. Those are good stats. And like you said, you're trying to develop players. You're trying to give them some minutes. And I kind of like, to be honest, I feel like in years past, exhibition games have kind of been just like throwaway games. Like you play like D2 schools and all kinds of stuff where the competition, where you won by 55 points. So you really didn't do it. These were two like good games. Towson's, they're projected to be the best team in the CAA. Like this is actual real test, and it's good because it's good because it doesn't count in a sense, right? So it doesn't matter if you.
Well, you're playing with house money, but there's a reason you play them.
Yeah, I don't know. I appreciated that.
I do. We shot 39% from the field, 22% from three. Those numbers are not great.
No.
Like to see that move up.
It was a rock fight.
Some kind of.
I think we were full from stealing all the Jersey Mike subs from Rutgers.
No, that's right.
Also, what a miss by Rutgers. How dare you not sell Jersey Mike subs in a New Jersey arena named after the Jersey Mike?
They don't sell Jersey Mike subs?
Last time I was there when they first named it?
Nope. I think they do. They do them. I think they have a stand there.
But I think they might.
Jersey Mike's great.
Because I went there.
So, a sub above, some would say.
I want my goddamn sub in a tub.
Danny DeVito would certainly be a big fan.
Sure.
Anyway, let's get back to some St. John's basketball, guys. This season, into the season for the Big East preseason announcements, St. John's is fifth.
I love it.
Same as last year.
We finished fifth last year.
They projected us fifth. We finished fifth.
No, I think they projected us fourth last year.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Well, yeah. I don't love the fact that happened, but I meant... I like the fact that I'd rather us have a little bit less. I want less expectations. I want the other team to think that we're not as good as we're going to be.
I think five is appropriate, but to your point, I think it also gives our guys a little
push.
Like, okay, like five is not like where that's. I mean, where there's 11 teams, but it's middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack.
Basically middle.
I think the only surprise ahead of us is Xavier. Xavier's three, just to give everybody the kind of rundown. UConn's one, no surprise there. Creighton two, also no surprise there. Xavier is three, which is a surprise. Yeah,
figured at least Marquette over them.
Yeah, Marquette's four. And then St. John's is five. And then the rest of the teams don't matter because they're all losers. No, just kidding. Providence behind us at six. Villanova seven. Butler eight. Georgetown nine. Seton Hall 10. And the DePaul Blue Demons, those poor, poor souls, sitting in 11th. In addition to the preseason poll, obviously the preseason first team, second team, third team came out. Kadari Richmond, no surprise. First team, all Big East. Davon Smith. Second team All Big East for us, so that's good. Love to get a little preseason, I should say, perks.
Also, Kadari Richmond was placed on the Jerry West preseason watch list, which is the top shooting guard in the country. So, very good for us. We love national recognition, and he's well deserved of it too.
We certainly do. He certainly does. And it's always exciting when your guys have national rankings and preseason teams and stuff like that. Speaking of the season, let's take a look at this out-of-conference schedule. Obviously, our first game, Monday, November 4th, everybody. Mark your calendars. It is home against Fordham at Carnesecca Arena at 6:30. In terms of our other out-of-conference games, obviously there's, the typical filler games. Quinnipiac, Wagner, Harvard. Actually, Harvard maybe not as much as a filler game as some of the other games. Delaware, Bryant, those are kind of our filler games. Our out-of-conference schedule pretty good this year, though. We play New Mexico, obviously, a father-son reunion.
At the Garden.
At the Garden. And then we go to the Baja Mar Tournament. Baja Mar Tournament, very good, very talented pool. Number eight, Baylor.
Yeah.
Virginia, coachless.
Tony Bennett left them high and dry.
I mean, you want to talk about a bad exit? My God.
Did we ever find out why?
I don't know. The exit?
I didn't hear anything.
Slow pace.
That's it. He was, he was going to leave in February, but then he was so slow that he didn't leave until now. Tennessee, number 12 in the country. And then us. That's the four teams. Our matchups is set against Baylor. We'll obviously play the winner or loser, depending on if we win or lose. Of the Virginia Tennessee.
I mean, if we take care of business, we'll very likely be ranked ourselves during that time.
100%. I mean, we are 27th, if you will. We're the second most receiver of votes. We've received 91 votes. Illinois received 92. directly in front of that is Rutgers at 25 with 102.
And we beat them.
And we beat them in the exhibition game. So we in this tournament, we have the ability to put together a great out-of-conference. My only concern is it's a little early, by the way. So we play Fordham and Quinnipiac in the first week. Then we play Wagner and New Mexico, the 13th and the 17th. And then it's right into it. Then it's right, the game's against Baylor. So
that is quick.
It is quick.
Early season, you know? You got to see what we got.
That's how it happens. And to be honest, you're kind of playing with house money because you lose those games and it's not a huge, it's not like you take a huge hit.
Right. There's like teams who come in and out of the woodworks during these like feast week tournaments.
I'm sorry. I was going to like fucking, I was going to do it in the middle of the thing. I was trying to get you to stop. So,
I think it's,
Who was it last season?
Came through at feast week.
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah, like last year, like Michigan, you know, they came into Feast Week number 5 in the country. At the end of Feast Week, they were unranked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you, ups and downs, you can really change your trajectory of your season in Feast Week.
Well,
you,
there's a lot of eyeballs on it, right? Yeah. So, you know, a good week changes the perception of you for the rest of the season.
Certainly. I think if we come out of this tournament with one win, I think it'll be an okay tournament. If that win is against Baylor, I think it's a decent tournament. If we come away with two wins, I think it's a very good tournament for us. Yeah. While we're down in Baja Mar, we also played Georgia before we leave, which is kind of funny. It's not part of the tournament.
Just to pick up another one.
Just to pick up another one while we're there. Georgia happens to be in the Bahamas for a different tournament. So they'll stop over and play us before heading back to the United States. So that's a good SEC matchup. The SEC was pretty good last year. Always good to get a team we haven't gotten a look at before. Our other out-of-conference game, Kansas State, Big 12 matchup. That's a real one. That's a good one.
Is that the Big 10?
Big 12 East Challenge. Yes, that is.
Wild thing about that game. Can we talk about that for just 1 second?
Manhattan versus Manhattan.
Battle for Manhattan. It's on a Saturday at 11:30 a.m. in the morning at Carnesecca Arena.
Wait, what? Actually?
Yeah.
We're playing Kansas State at Carnesecca Arena at 11:30 in the morning on Saturday.
It's interesting. I'm assuming that it's because it's the football conference championship week. So I believe the Big Ten game is probably at noon. Not at noon, I'm sorry. I assume the Big Ten game is probably early.
Must be at 3:30 because if it was at noon, 11:30 is still going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be.
It's probably 3:30. It's probably a 3:30 game. So they wanted to squeeze in a basketball game. That's the only thing I can think of.
It's a good point. I couldn't think of a reason why it was at 11:30 in the morning.
Maybe they have the Big Ten championship on Fox. Yeah, maybe not.
Fox does not
have probably on CBS.
On CBS.
Yeah, but they have the Big 12.
They have Fox. The Big 12.
Anyway, but there's probably could be two conference championship games. They're trying to fit in a basketball game. That's my only thought. That wraps up kind of our out of conference game. Obviously, we mentioned that Harvard game. That's a decent game. They're always kind of a decent program out of the Ivy. You never know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the Ivy League schools are generally pretty good. I mean, they're usually okay.
Harvard, Yale, and Princeton are usually Princeton's going to be the best this year because they have that kid Xavier Lee.
Yeah.
He's crazy good.
Well, I mean, they were good last year, too.
By the way, another weird time for that game. 5 p.m. on Peacock. Well,
by the way,
weird times. We got some weird times and weird channels.
The Georgia game, by the way, is listed as 11 p.m. That Baja Mar on Sunday.
I got 11 a.m.
I think it is 11 a.m. ESPN showing 11 p.m. They're incorrect.
Also weird time, though.
Sure. Again,
not a weird start.
Again, a weird start time.
Is the Bahamas an hour?
I think they're an hour ahead.
From East Coast time.
Yeah. Right. So that might make some sense.
So they're probably starting at noon. There, yeah, but here it's 11.
That would be why. There's also a 2:15 game on our schedule. Just want everybody to know.
That's ridiculous.
You don't look at the time. We can look at that later, but that's
absolutely wacky times and on Peacock. I really don't like
the fact that we have
exclusively on streaming services.
Yeah, no, I was gonna agree with you, Nick. I was gonna say the fact that we have 4 games just on Peacock is really not great.
I don't like it.
I mean, I know.
Not it's a terrible.
I guess Peacock paid the Big East a good amount of money, though.
They probably did.
We like money, so that's good.
I mean, we do. As a conference, we are in favor of money, yes. I believe so.
We still should have taken that ESPN deal. I don't know, actually.
No.
Eh.
I like Fox better. I think the Fox Sports, what they gave us at the time for Fox Sports 1 at the start of the Big East, making it basically our network, I think, was better than what ESPN was offering us
at the time. But ESPN brings the biggest national
eyes and sports. Like
not bigger than Fox, not regular Fox.
I mean, people talk about you more if you're on ESPN. That's what happens.
No, ESPN talks about you more if you're on the.
Okay, ESPN. But most people watch ESPN, not Fox. Nobody's watching the Fox.
Yeah, but
Fox
ESPN does play into the kind of the national conversation heavily.
Yeah, I know.
They have their own rankings.
They shouldn't though. But with the ESPN contract, you're less likely to get on your main broadcast channel because they're not putting those games on ABC. So
no, you're right.
You're on Fox. You get the opportunity to be on Fox. Part of our contract is with CBS as well.
Yeah,
CBS buys those games for Fox. You're able to get, you know, on CBS. Yeah. If you get on CBS and Fox, you are seen more nationally than games on ESPN.
It's a great point.
I just feel like it hurts us more. I feel like our highlights are less on ESPN. I feel like I don't know.
I don't watch ESPN. I'm probably a bad judge. Anyway, let's talk about our season as a whole. Craig, looking at the out-of-conference schedule, obviously we won't look at the... We know what the conference schedule is. The teams are in it. Where do you see us going? What do you think our... We don't need an exact record, but where do you think we'll finish in the Big East? Where do you think we'll end up in terms of any postseason possibilities? And overall, what would you say is a successful season for this team? All right, Craig, let's start with you. What? First of all, give me the non-conference record. Give me where we're going to finish in the Big East and what impact that's going to have on the Big East tournament. Any postseason things we're going to get to. And what do you see as being a successful season overall for this team?
So I'm going to say non-conference. I think we're going to be successful. I think we're going to go 9-2. 9-2. We'll win a game in the Bahamar. We'll lose the championship.
You think we beat Oregon and then lose the championship? I mean, Baylor.
I think we beat Baylor and lose the championship, yeah. I think we end up third in the Big East. I think that's where we end up in the regular season.
Biggest bye in the Big East tournament.
Bye in the Big East tournament. Do I think every year I predict us going winning on Friday? We got to Friday this year.
We got to Friday
last year, so that was a great time. I say we get to Friday again. I'll leave us at that for now.
Okay. All right.
But I think we make the tournament. I think we finally break and we win a game in the tournament.
Win a game in the tournament.
Stop being a hater.
So what? A successful.
Not a hater. I said we won a game tournament for something like 25 years.
Time out. Not even getting to the Big East tournament, a championship.
What would be your successful scale for the season? If we obviously that's what you're predicting, right? But if we don't hit your prediction.
Greg just wants our boys to be happy.
I think if we don't win a game in the tournament,
okay, that's what I
we have to. First of all, making the tournament is the literal bare minimum.
Okay, yeah. you're saying for in order I think for they it need to be to a successful season, they have to win.
I think
win
we need
game.
To win a game. Right. I think that would be a successful. I think making the tournament would be a good season, a solid season. I think really a successful season would be winning a game in the tournament.
Fair enough, Tim. Same question to you.
With our out of conference, I see us with only two losses coming into the conference schedule.
Same as Greg. All right.
Yep. I see us finishing fourth in the Big East.
Okay.
Going to the semis.
The Friday night?
Yep.
Okay.
And then going into the round 32 in the tournament.
All right. So winning a game.
Yep.
You guys are a bunch of haters.
So what would be your minimal successful season?
Tournament.
Tournament as well. Just making the tournament just would be enough for a successful season. Craig needs a win. Okay. Nick, break it down for us, kid.
I'm going to give us one loss in the non-conference. I think we end the season 26-7. I think we get 26 wins.
Oh, we got numbers. He's coming in with numbers.
Yeah. Because, you know, I
he came in with the math.
Yeah.
He did good at the math.
I did. I'm good with the maths. I think.
Where does that put us in the Big East?
I mean, it does depend on some teams, obviously, but I think that probably puts us at third in the Big East.
13-5 in the Big East.
Fair.
That's where you're at. That's where you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had one loss coming in.
Yeah. 13-5, I think that puts us at third. I think we're only going to have one loss in the non-conference. Then I think we probably end up second in the Big East. Second only to probably UConn. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's somebody else. But probably UConn. I think we make it to Saturday of the Big East tournament.
Ooh, Big East final.
And I think we make it to the at least
Sweet 16. Wow, Nick. I like your excitement.
I appreciate you. Look,
what would be your minimum successful season, Craig? Nick?
So I
am, Craig?
I am also going to agree that minimum success has to be making the NCAA tournament.
Okay, that's fair enough. I agree that's the minimum success as well. I think you have to, this team coming into the season, you know, with, you know, you're 27th essentially in the poll. The talent we have in the backcourt, I think making the tournament is a minimum success as well. Nick, I am going to join you on the one loss parade. I think we probably lose to Baylor, but win that second game at Baja Mar. That puts us at one loss in the out-of-conference. From there, I'm going to go ahead and agree with none of you. So I think we're going to finish as the five. Okay. I actually think the five seed is a better spot than the three seed, because I think you, yes, you have to face the one seed faster, but you face them when they're coming off of a high, usually of a fluff game in a sense, although not as much anymore because they play the 7-8 now, not the last ranked team. I think it gives you a bigger test, and it leaves you more opportunity for the championship to be not as tough of a test. So anyway,
I can see that.
Just my personal opinion on the five spot in general. So I think we finish fifth. I think we make it to the championship. I think we lose in the championship.
Another Saturday night.
I think we make it to Saturday night. And I am going to say that we will, for the first time in many, many years, return to the Elite Eight.
Wow. Here
in the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
I love it.
This team, I think, gets hot late. I think, listen, we have a good out of conference. My guess is we struggle in January a little bit. Bounce back more towards the end of February, right in time for the Big East tournament and for the NCAA tournament. As we put it together with this backcourt in the tournament, I think it could be a nasty combination.
From your lips to God's ears, Vincent.
The second time you said that, Craig.
It's true. I said it to Nick, but now I take it back for Nick. I say more for Vincent because he got to go farther.
Well, someone's got to be positive.
He also has a fifth in the Big East. I got a second.
Yeah, but Elite Eight's Elite Eight.
Elite Eight's Elite Eight, pal.
I said at least Sweet 16.
That's fair.
All right. Let's talk about our number one starter watch, and it can't be Kadari Richmond. So we're going to pick somebody who on this team you think is the number one player to will be our player to watch this year, whose name is not Kadari Richmond. Nick, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Zubi Ejiofor as my pick. I think, you know, he was clearly the most influential player in the Rutgers game. And I think over the last season, he's made a lot of strides into being a better player. And with him having, you know, being the number one option in the center, not having Soriano anymore, I think if he's really good, we could be really good.
It's a great point. He has really built over the years. And I think he could be, he's going to get a lot of time.
Yeah,
so he's going to get some time to shine. And I think he may take advantage of it. My guy is going to be RJ Lewis. I think he's, like I said, there's times where he's the best player on the court. You know, he's another year older, another year wiser, another year more prepared. And I think even though, you know, he didn't start in those exhibition games, I don't think that's true as the season starts. I think he's going to be a starter, and I think he's going to shine, which is going to be a great asset for this team. Tim, who's your player to watch not named Kadari Richmond?
I mean, unfortunately, it was going to be RJ, so I'm pretty much just on board with what you just said.
All right, fair enough. You know, sometimes it happens. Craig, who do you got?
I'm going to say Simeon Wilcher. Thought about Aaron Scott there, but I'm going to go with Simeon Wilcher. I think his development from year to year has been exponential, and I think his shooting is going to be very important for this team. And I think ultimately he's going to become a star this year.
I agree with you 100%.
All right. Well, that's the predictions from the Red Storm Chasers for the season in terms of where we're going to end up and who are the stars to watch. We'll see how well we do. I don't really remember what we did last year.
I was just thinking about the same thing.
Should have looked back.
We should look back.
Probably shouldn't have.
We'll send out a tweet.
We'll drop that. Hopefully, we'll bury it if it's bad. Anyway,
we'll put out a tweet.
We'll change it like Joe Lenardi to make it look better.
Yeah, you can always improve your stats in the post. Most people don't pay attention. Anyway, first game of the year coming up. Get excited. Monday, November 4th, for those keeping track.
Oh.
6:30 is on Fox Sports 1. It is at Carneseca Arena. It is against Ed Cole's former team, Fordham Rams. We stole your AD. Now you got to come play us week one. Okay.
And we sacrifice the Ram.
Tim, we know you want to sacrifice the Ram. We know. We get it. Fordham, as much as they played well at the end of the year last year, they actually improved. They're a program who's been struggling a bit. They're picked 15th out of 16 in the A-10.
Not great, Vincent.
Not where you want to be.
Not where you want to be.
In the preseason poll. Just saying. They finished 12th last year, 13-20 on the season. I said they had a better end of the season. That was, you know, they did.
But they won a game in the A-10 tournament, if I remember correctly.
They did.
My gambling memory reminds me.
They played better at the end of the season. They were a program who struggles.
Yeah.
And I get it. Listen, you're A-10 is a great basketball conference. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in New York and you've got to balance against us.
Fair.
You know, recruiting's not really fair.
What do they call that kid that's now on St. Louis?
Rob. His name's Rob Vila. He was on what's it called last year?
I don't know. What's it called?
I forget what team he was on. I think they call him like White Chocolate.
All right.
Sorry, just made me think about it. You said A-10's are really good. He was like one of the best transfer kids, and he went there.
No, it's Random Stats with Nicholas Coughlin coming to you live on the Red Storm Chaser podcast. St. Louis, by the way, picked 4th in the A-10, just in case you were wondering there, Nick. I know we say this regularly during the Cupcake games. This is a game we should win. KenPom ranks these guys 166th. Just for reference, we're 19 in the KenPom. Not that KenPom is the end all be all,
but a good number.
He's a good measurement. I would say in college basketball, and being 19th for us, top 20 obviously, is very good.
Fordham's not gonna be a pushover game though. I mean, they're not a 8-10 team. I mean, they have some talent on that.
That's
roster.
The thing. It is better than the normal start of the season Cupcake. I mean, yeah. We played Mississippi Valley State, right? Or Incarnate Word, even though they beat us.
Fighting paperclips.
They. This is a game where, you know, it's a mid-major conference matchup. It's a game where sometimes you never know what can happen. They've got I got a kid's name.
They got some basketball players.
So you know what's funny? You know what his nicknames were? Rob Avila. There was two. His main one was College Jokic. And the other one.
Oh, I know who you're talking about now.
Milk Chamberlain.
No, that's the kid. Yeah.
I know you're talking about Rob Avila. He left St. Louis.
No, he just went.
He was named to the A-10 defensive team, preseason team.
No, he left.
He left Indiana State. A good player. He's a graduate player.
Same color.
You know, some experience.
Guy to watch out for.
Yeah, he's going to be a guy who is, you know, is going to be the star of the game for them in our matchup. So he's the guy who can make things interesting for us. At the end of the day, like we said, you know, you play these games early on, hoping to get some wins and experience against decent teams, and we'll see what happens on Monday night. Fortunately, we won't have to wait too long after Monday night for a second matchup. We play on Saturday as well, November 9th, against Quinnipiac. That game at 2 p.m., like you said, Craig, very strange start time. That game on Fox Sports 2. Quinnipiac, they picked first in the MAC, the MAAC.
Whatever. Really?
Hold on. I wasn't questioning.
No, I was.
Finished to pick first picked to finish first in the MAAC, the MAC. 193rd, though, in KenPom, so actually not as good as Fordham in terms of the KenPom.
Yeah.
They won the MAC regular season last year.
I have another random trivia fact here.
All right, here we go.
Where is the MAC headquarters located?
Edison, New Jersey.
Ah, you guys already know this.
I drive past it regularly. Nice building as I drive past it regularly. Nice headquarters.
I interned there for a summer.
I'm aware.
I updated their stat books. It's fun. Adobe InDesign.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. It's awkward. Anyway.
Adobe InDesign. It's great. Shout out to Adobe.
We don't need to say
that. Now we'll go to our sponsors, Adobe.
Nick, hopefully you got their record books correct and you didn't screw it up. We'll see. Maybe we'll find out in this game. They'll call a record that Nick created. It was not correct.
Right. They'll be like, they'll go through the back of the record book and I'm excited and they'll be like, who edited this?
Who edited this book?
Nick.
What intern edited it? Anyway, Amari Monroe is the preseason conference player of the year. He is on Quinnipiac. He will be, like I said, the star of this game for the opposing team. Somebody we're gonna have to stop, you know, in order to win the game. And it's good to have face big time players, if you will. I mean, I know he's obviously the best player in the MAC, not the best player, whatever.
Sure.
But it is good to face talented players because sometimes it's one guy who's gonna come and take over a game. And if you can stop one guy, then
it usually is one guy against St. John's that goes off for about 40 points.
As long as we can handle him,
it's good to play tough mid to low major teams because, you know, they're the best of their conference and they're a winning pedigree. I mean, Quinnipiac won the MAC last year.
They could be a tournament team.
Yeah, they could be a tournament team,
right?
To one, so that helps the resume slightly, right? It helps the net and stuff like that when you start getting into that. But also, just like they're guys that are used to winning, so they play winning basketball. So to win those games, you know, it just helps build the DNA of the team. So I think it's good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it is better than playing against, you know, Mississippi Valley State and teams that really have no shot and really are not competition,
right,
which we've seen. And to be honest, some things that have hurt us across the year, weak out of conference schedules. Right. No one this year will say that about this team.
Definitely not.
No one will come in with a solid out of conference strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a good job, by the way, whether it was Mike Cragg or Rick Pitino or whoever it was, setting up this schedule to be what it was.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Getting into that Baja Mar tournament, making sure we got Kansas State in the Big 12 matchup, signing the game with Georgia, even Harvard, you know, New Mexico, obviously that's a father-son thing, but doing that, it puts together a real non-conference schedule. Now you walk into the season, obviously two spots away from being ranked, but you walk in with some real juice, you know, some real ability to walk into the conference play ranked even highly.
We'll almost certainly have two opportunities against ranked opponents.
Absolutely. I mean, we're 100% against Baylor. Tennessee is ranked as well, so we've got a good chance
of winning. If we win,
and K-State.
K-State's not ranked right now, but could be. Certainly could be.
Quinnipiac, winner of the college hockey playoff.
Another good nugget from Nicholas Coughlin.
Let's see how many
guys, just a fountain of great nuggets today.
If you guys need anybody to join you on a trivia, I'm taking applications and my fee is a low fee. I'm not going to discuss it on the pod, but you have to contact my
for family. Legal reasons. We can't discuss Nick's fee for trivia on the podcast.
A trivia appearance. No appearance. I'll come to your
you
bar.
You don't do trivia. You just go there.
No. I'll be on your team.
You're a consultant.
I'm a consultant.
Someone say you're a trivia consultant.
I'm a trivia consultant, and you have to pay for my drinks.
Oh, well, there you go.
And my travel.
Oh, okay. Hopefully you're not far away. Those of you in the central New Jersey area, you're getting a steal. Anyway, two games next week. Two games to start the season. Going to be an exciting week. I'm pumped. Great to have St. John's basketball back between the Yankees and the New York Jets for me personally. It's been a roller coaster of a fall. And it's great just in time for St. John's to lift me up or drop me down even further. Just excited to be back. I know everyone's excited to be back on the airwaves here with you guys. Thanks for listening. For Craig, Tim, Nick, I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.